my friend Jim Brogan joins us on the broadcast. Jim, it's always great to talk to you, my friend.
Great to talk to you, Halloran. Thanks so much.
Hey, let's start. Social Security. There are a lot of people that might be listening that get Social Security. And my understanding is they do a cost of living adjustment. What's happening with that this year?
So they just recently announced what it'll be for 2024, and it's going to be a 3.2% increase in the Social Security benefit. Now, of course, this year for 2023, it went up 8.7% because of all the inflation we had last year. So then next year, it's going up 3.2%.
Is that going to be enough? Has inflation, because I saw a report today, the National Realtors Association, I guess it was, the report was in the Wall Street Journal today that said home sales, deepest decline in 13 years because of interest rates. So it seems like interest rates are still up, which suggests to me that inflation may still be up. Is 3.2% tracking with where they think inflation is going to be?
Yeah, well, ultimately, I don't think that's high enough. You know, the data now is inflation's back up around 3.7, 3.8%. The reality is when you look at inflation historically and how cost of living adjustments happen with Social Security, if we go back all the way to the early 1970s, Halloran, it just the cost of living adjustments have not kept up with inflation. As a matter of fact, if a retiree started drawing Social Security in 2000, even with the cost of living adjustments, their disposable income and adjusting for Social Security has gone down by a third in the last 22, 23 years. So historically, Social Security cost of living adjustments do not keep up with inflation. Part of that is due to increasing Medicare premiums, but part of that is it just not enough to pay for the increasing goods and services of how retirees spend money.
The Fed recently said they're going to kind of keep with their restrictive policies, keep their hands tightly on the reins. Is this a good idea, bad idea, the right idea?
Personally, I think it's the right idea. You know, it's kind of interesting because the Fed has been saying for really almost the whole year that they're going to keep interest rates higher for longer. And now the markets, I think, are finally starting to believe them. And I think part of that is because the economy has proven to be awfully resilient. But inflation has also proven to be a little bit sticky. As I just said, it's almost 4% right now. The Fed wants to get it down to 2%. I think the Fed is extremely committed to bringing down inflation, and I think they'll keep rates up. You know, you mentioned home prices declining because of the increase in interest rates. I think at some point, Halloran, it's bound to cause some slowdown in the economy, which is what the Fed's trying to do. Of course, the question is then, does it cause a recession? I think at least a mild recession is probably pretty probable. Now, we have to be careful as investors. That doesn't necessarily mean the market's going to go down or up. It's not very correlated. But, you know, I think we've got some time left with these high interest rate environments and the likelihood of continued inflation.
Let's talk about the market and how world events move or shape or affect markets. A lot of global instability now, especially related to what's going on in Israel and Gaza and what's happening between Israel and Hamas. Have you noticed any market jitters as a result of that instability?
That's a great question, Halloran. You know, I get asked that question so much, especially in the last week and a half. You know, a year and a half ago, I was asked that so much about the Russia-Ukraine conflict and still have continued to get questions about that. When we look at the historic data, like if I just try to remove my feelings of politics and geopolitics and all that stuff from the equation and try to unemotionally look at data, the data suggests that over time, over a period of a few years, regional conflicts don't seem to have much impact on the stock market. If anything, they maybe they maybe buoy the stock market. Now, certainly in the short term, it can create a lot more instability and volatility because the markets don't like uncertainty and they're trying to kind of predict. It's a forward indicator. It's looking through the front windshield. Where might we be in 8 or 9 months? And so that uncertainty causes the market to be more choppy. But, you know, we shouldn't be investing in the markets for where we might be in a month or 3 months because that's a crapshoot. We should be looking at the long term. And the data would suggest that a regional conflict, even the one that just broke out in the Middle East, is really not going to have a lasting impact on the stock market. Now, all that being said, it could be different this time. I believe this is a very serious situation, as many people do. But I'm just letting you know what history would tell us.
Let's talk a little bit about pensions, right? When I was growing up, that's what everybody, they wanted that gold watch. You got a gold watch and you got a pension for the rest of your life, and that's not what it is anymore. What are you doing to help people like have some guaranteed monthly income?
Well, there are a lot of different ways to do that. You're right. Defined benefit plans like pension-type plans are really becoming a thing of the past, and I think, unfortunately, that trend is continuing because it puts the onus on the employer's money and how they set that aside and manage it. The plans that we see more now, Halloran, are our own self-investment plans like 401Ks, 403Bs, 457s. That's putting the onus on the investor to manage their own investment in those plans. As far as guaranteed income, there are ways to, I think really what you're getting at is how can we produce stability of income in markets that are markedly volatile, and then how can that income increase over time to beat inflation? And the answer is a good financial plan can do all of that. It's important to have stability of income in the short term in retirement. That can be with things like laddered CDs and treasury bonds and things like that, where you can have guaranteed income in those first 4, 5, or 6 years of retirement. But I do believe in order to fight inflation long term, we have to have some diversified market investment for long term growth.
All right, you got another class coming up, Tax Planning in the New Age, on November 2nd. Talk a little bit about that before you go.
Yeah, it's through the University of Tennessee. It is a one-night class for 2 hours at 6:30 p.m. TaxPlanningInTheNewAge.com. I'm going to hit all the major areas. I think people have more control, Halloran, typically in the early years of retirement than at any other time in your life. And the reality is we're more than likely in the lowest federal income tax bracket we're going to be in for the rest of our lives. And so there are some advantages and that we can take advantage of before we see inevitable tax increases like we're going to see here in a couple of years in the current tax code. So I'm going to really dive into all of that and show people, different strategies for minimizing taxes in retirement.
All right, that's a great thing. Jim Brogan, always love having you on the show. Always love listening to you on Saturday mornings. Thank you for being here today, my friend.
Thank you, Halloran. Have a great week.